This is Radio City Talk.
Aintree Festival, day two, Ladies' Day, Friday, absolutely brilliant. Thursday was momentous. Had a cracking day down there with a good friend, Sandro from Skybet. Morning, Sandro.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
Very good. Our charity bets didn't really pay off for us, did they?
No. Sadly, we didn't do our bit for charity yesterday, didn't we? But today's another day. And maybe we can find some winners today.
I think the bookies were the winners overall yesterday, weren't they? Because there was really sort of short odds on a lot of horses, but not many of those favourites seemed to come home.
No, you're absolutely right. And it seems to be the case with the meeting at Aintree. We spoke about it yesterday, didn't we, around how the Cheltenham Festival is the big focus for trainers. And Aintree is sort of a bit of an afterthought. If the horses come out well from Cheltenham, you send them to Aintree. And as a result, quite a few fancied horses didn't really turn up and didn't really deliver the goods for punters. And as a result, us horrible bookmakers managed to keep hold of a few quid in our satchel, which was a good thing, judging by the way some of your boys were knocking back the champagne yesterday.
Now. Right, then what was the highlight of your day yesterday? Was it Lizzie?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, an incredible ride from Lizzie Kelly. I mean, it was a shame to see Q-Card get beaten, but it was a very sort of heroic run from Q-Card, but a marvellous run from Lizzie Kelly on 2 for 2, and yeah, absolutely superb to see. Really, really impressive ride. She stalked Q-Card all the way around and then delivered the horse at the right moment, and yeah, really impressive ride.
A little bit of history as well, that really, isn't it? You know, a few of the papers, some of the media have made a big deal of that.
Yes, but I suppose it is. I mean, you know, we've had women, you know, jockeys in racing for a very, very long time, but not many women jockeys have really picked up the big races. And for Lizzie Kelly to do that in a Group 1 race and the way she did it with such style, I think those things are big news. And I think, you know, they really should be championed because it's great for the sport and great for women's sport in general. So, you know, hats off to Lizzie. Phenomenal ride. And let's hope it's the first of many.
Yeah, well done. 2 for 2. Lizzie Kelly on 2 for 2. It was the Betway Bowl. She was the winner on. Right, let's look at today's races. Tic Tac Vino is going to join us in a second or two. The Melling Chase takes centre stage at 3:25.
Yes, this is a very interesting one, isn't it? Sub-Lieutenant, I think the horse you've had a word for. That's the favourite. Trained by Henry de Bromhead, ridden by Brian Cooper. That's a 3-1 favourite. God's Own, second favourite there from Tom George, and then Fox Norton. And then some horses, Uxie's Andre, that's the fourth favourite, 8-1, trained by Alan King, Josie's Hill. It's a competitive heat, a very competitive heat. One, like most of these races at Aintree, it's difficult trying to find winners. And probably one that I might steer away from trying to find a charity bet later on when we go through those. But a really competitive race. And undoubtedly, Sub-Lieutenant is the worthy favourite. And hopefully we see an impressive performance from him and everybody else in the race.
Here he is, the brains behind the operation, Tic Tac Vino.
Good morning. How are we all?
He's still a little bit shell-shocked from yesterday's results, isn't he? Do you know what he said to me before, Sandro? He said, Sandro took me to the wrong race course yesterday. He said I had winners at two other race courses, but not Aintree.
Every course is at Aintree. Even the Greyhound gave me a winner.
Right, 3:25 then, the Melling Chase. Is it on your radar at all, Vino?
That's my tip of the day, yes. I'm on Nothing Original. I'm going for the favourite, Sub-Lieutenant. Came second in the Ryanair at Cheltenham. I think it should take all the beating today. I'm a bit wary of Fox Norton. I think it could be a 1-2 there. We're going to go for the forecast. The reverse forecast will probably be a more sensible bet. But yeah, I'm pretty confident about that one. Brian Cooper, Henry de Bromhead. Were you just mentioning that before I just came in? I heard Henry's name mentioned.
No.
No? Okay, well, that's good then. So I'm on my own with her then.
You're delusional. I'll tell you what, we'll have our charity bet on that then. I'm latching onto your tails. Our charity bet, £100 with Skybet. So Sub-Lieutenant, what are we getting on that, Sandro?
A nice point, 3-1, so not a bad price at all. You know, it's not going to make you a millionaire, but a winner's a winner, isn't it? And if Sub-Lieutenant does bound on and get the victory, it doesn't really matter what price it is, doesn't it? It means we're making plenty of money for a really good cause. So 3-1 about that, and it sounds like, so you both having 100 quid on that, so 200 quid on Sub-Lieutenant at 3-1, that'd be nice, £600. For the charity there.
Oh, doubled it up. Cash for kids. Come on, it's all for the kids. Hey, right, Sandro, absolutely. What are you looking at? What is all your research going towards?
I'm not going to lie to you. There hasn't been a great deal of research, but in these cases, I always go to people that know more than I do, which is quite a lot of people in this case. But I've had a chat with the traders this morning in the Skybet office, and one that we really like is Seafood in the 405, the Topham Chase. They go over the Grand National fences, which is always a great feat. Seafood, trained by the good doctor, Dr. Newland, ridden by Richard Johnson, 10-1 chance. I'm going to have 50 quid each way on that. And Skybet are paying six places. So we've got a chance of getting a place at the very least, but hopefully Seafood for Richard Johnson and the good doctor, Mr. Newland, does the business.
Seafood, you like it, Vino?
Yeah, I think Richard Johnson's on it, if I remember rightly. So I fancy that one, actually. I think that's got a great chance of getting around. And, of course, Dr. Richard Newland, who himself has had a Grand National winner himself. He knows how to get a horse over these fences. Yeah, not a bad decent each-way punt.
OK. Do you know what amazed me when I went back to the car yesterday? How big the course is. You don't quite appreciate it when you're in the stands or, you know, where we were. Mm. You can see it and you think, yeah, it's moderate. But when you drive out into the centre, it's huge, isn't it?
It is.
It really is. And for those horses that are running the full whack, if you like, the Grand National race or what was the race we watched yesterday that was one of the biggies? You're thinking, wow, how do they get round that with such speed?
Yeah, well.
It's amazing, isn't it? The pack for that 405, Randox Topham, handicap is quite large, but Seafood is the one that Sandro's gone for there. Yesterday was a massive success. Well done to everyone at Aintree and the sponsors, Randox. I thought, Sandro, it looked amazing, didn't it? The course and everything, the stands and the people.
Absolutely immaculate, wasn't it? It was every time I come to Aintree, it's usually only once a year, and you can't just sort of be taken away by the sheer sort of, I suppose, the magnificence of the race course. And it, you know, you get quite nostalgic. It brings you back to lots of memories as a kid watching the Grand National. And the course looked incredible. I thought Randox did an incredible job of really sort of like activating their sponsorship. It was just wonderful, wasn't it? Really wonderful to see. Really excited about today. And, of course, the big race tomorrow. But it's an amazing place, Aintree, isn't it? And every time you're there, like you say, you really try and take in the whole sort of sheer enormity of the race course because it is unbelievably impressive.
Right, get some tips out there for tomorrow. Has your, have you changed in any way since yesterday in terms of who you'd look at for the actual Grand National race itself, 5:15 tomorrow, Sandro?
I suppose the only thing is the ground is drying. You know, we're not seeing a lot of rain. I mean, and the forecast today is dry, but tomorrow the forecast is for it to be quite warm, actually. And the drying ground, I think, it's certainly going to suit some horses over others. I was out for dinner with a few friends who work for a couple of competitors, and we also out with the trainer Neil Mulholland last night, and he's very, very sweet on his horse, the Young Master. It's a 20-1 chance for the Grand National. The amateur jockey Sam Whaley Cohen takes the ride, but Mr. Whaley Cohen, he's purely an amateur in name. He's ridden a Gold Cup winner before. He's an exceptional jockey. He's got great form around the Grand National fences, and I didn't really have the Grand National horse in my mind, but Mr. Mulholland, the trainer, firmly cemented that one in my mind last night. So that, I think that's going to be really interesting. They're really bullish about the horse's chances. So that's one that's sort of gone down on my list. I suppose the only thing will be the ground. Like I say, it is going to be drying. And of course, the latest start of the Grand National, 5:15, the second year that the race has started at that time. I think that's something just to take into consideration, because if it's hot all day, that ground will continue to dry throughout the day, and you probably want those horses that like the ground slightly on the quicker side.
They were watering last night, though, Sandro, when I left the course. The sprinklers, the taps were turned on. So it might, you know, they'll be keeping it good to soft in some places, I would imagine.
So you're going in a different direction, are you, Vinnie?
A little bit. I think the Young Master's got a great chance. Sam Whaley Cohen, obviously, is the jockey who knows his way around these type of fences. So it's if you're looking for a more sensible type of punt than the ones I go for, then that's a pretty good choice, I would say.
Right. So you're not recommending any other horses for this race?
I've got my own horse, yes.
You've already met what? Cause of Causes?
Well, I'm not going to back Cause of Causes. I can't bring myself to it because, I've already got it anti-post. I backed it, a big odds on one of the betting exchanges. Before he won at Cheltenham. And since his Cheltenham win, he's come right into about 12 or 14 to 1. I think the Cheltenham race was a hard race. I don't know whether this is going to come too soon. Obviously, I'll have mixed emotions because soon I used to part own this horse many, many years ago. But, you know, I think it just might be a race or two too soon. after Cheltenham, but we shall see. My big outsider for tomorrow is Gasline Boy. I think I might have already mentioned this. It's 100-1. You can still get it in certain places. What are you going, Sandro?
Do you own some of this now, do you?
Sorry?
Do you own some of this now?
No. I just fancy an outsider. Because you look at some of the past winners, they've all big odds. You know, you don't want to be going to the top end of the market here, because you go back to 2009 when Monmouth won 100-1. A Rovers on course, 66-1. You know, last year ruled the world, early prices of 50-1. So I wouldn't be taking a skinny price about any horse tomorrow, because I think, you know, the race is becoming a bit easier to win. It's not a hard race to win. It's now more of a stamina test than a jumping test, ain't you, these days? Because obviously it's 4 miles and four furlongs. Gasline Boy. Actually, if you look about some of the past winners at the big odds, after timing is a wonderful thing in hindsight. But if you look back at some of the form, you often find the forms there. You know, Monmouth had form in one of the French nationals, you know, only 3 or 4 months before the Grand National. You know, Ruled the World had no form whatsoever last year. It was a maiden, hadn't even won over fences. But it did have some place form in some of the Irish national races. My tip, Gasline Boy, last year was third in the Kerry National. That, for me, is good enough form to take into this race. You know, and it's got a squeak. And also, here's a little stat for you. It's exactly 50 years to the day when the most famous 100-1 shot won the National, Foreign Haven. Could history repeat itself?
He's been into the stats, Sandro. Thank you very much indeed. Have a wonderful weekend.
Take care, guys. Have a wonderful day tomorrow. This is Radio City Talk.